Okay. By the way, we are also recording this, like we used to do in the old days, but with a more high-tech recorder. And so hopefully, eventually, that will be on the shul's website, Meretz Hashem. So again, we are on page 9. So again, we're in Siman Aleph. And, well, let's do it over again, even though we did it last time. On page 9. So on the top line, Gimel, Ro'i l'chol yorei shemayim shiyeh meitzar v'do'eg al korban beis hamikdash. It's proper for those who are yorei shemayim, right, fear of heaven, so to speak, that they should be troubled and about the destruction of the beis hamikdash. Now, as we did this last time, and we also discussed about Tikkun Chatzos. We spoke about that a couple of days before, about getting up in the middle of the night, midnight, halachic midnight, to say the Tikkun Chatzos. Now again, Chatzos is a calculation. Again, the Mishnah Berurah says depending on how long the day is, this time of year. So it's not midnight, it's later. And whatever chatzos is during the day would also translate into chatzos of the night. So again, I didn't look up what time it is. But again, that's important for the day chatzos because you cannot daven mincha. It's not on there. You cannot daven mincha till a half an hour after chatzos hayom. So again, it's a very little known opinion of Rav Moshe Feinstein that Rav Moshe held chatzos is always, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't hold this way, 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock. This time of year, since daylight savings time, it's 1 o'clock. So that would mean you would do, according to Rav Moshe, chatzos, we're talking about davening chatzos, at 1 o'clock in the morning. And so, too, in the winter months, you do it at 12 o'clock at night. But again, most people don't hold that way, and they say chatzos day and night fluctuate. Can we have it on the charts? You just wait a minute, we'll take a peek at that. And yeah, today, chatzos is 12:55. So that was 12:55 day. So again, tonight, if you want to say tikkun chatzos, you'd have to do it at 12:55 at night. Now, again, the halacha says that a person should be troubled by, again, we discussed this a little last time, about the fact we don't have the beis hamikdash. Again, as I was discussing last time, when you grow up in the smog, it's hard to imagine not living in the smog. But that's the way we're living. We're living in a spiritual smog, and it's getting worse. And the smog's getting worse and worse. There's first, maybe second stage smog alerts, spiritual smog alerts every day. So, but if you look, we discussed this last time, but if you look at the Mishnah Berurah Yud, I think it's a very important Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah says, hey, Meitzar, a person should be troubled by the fact we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. As we discussed last time, that's a little difficult for us to do because we have no point of reference. Not only no point of reference, we can't imagine, right? We think we have it good, right? We got cars, we got this, we got airplanes, you know. We can't imagine life with a Beis HaMikdash, unfortunately. Same way you can't imagine what Olam Haba is like. So to a lesser degree, but still the same type of idea, we can't imagine. Can't imagine what it's like to live in a world with a Beis HaMikdash. So the Mishnah Berurah says, "Shei Meitzar, Avol Torah Tefila Yiyeh B'Simcha." That you're when you daven and you learn, like we're doing now, that has to be with Simcha. Those are the exceptions. So if you're learning all the time, so that, I don't know what you do. But again, that's a very important Mishnah Berurah. Now the Mishnah Berurah the Mishnah Berurah Yud Aleph. Let's go to the next Mishnah Berurah. Churban Beis HaMikdash. Kasav Hashlosh. B'chol Sude Yomar Al Nodaros Bavel. right? You see it in the benchers, Sidur, that the Shlach says that whenever you eat, whenever you have a Suda, right? Suda means you made a hamotzi, you washed bread. So, you know, with Shabbos, v'chein yomim she'enom remem taklun, yomar shiram alz b'shav Hashem, right? Right, so we know when we had child shudas and things like that, we say shiram alz, right? So, but on days not like that, which are like the day like today, right? Right? And Tammuz. So so we say Anaros Bavel. We'll talk about that in a second, in a little while. And then the Mishnah says something interesting. You understand what you're saying, right? Again, he's saying it here, but obviously it applies in many cases. We'll get to when we're talking about korbanos. You know, you should understand what you're saying. So today it's easy, right? We got an amazing thing called art scroll, right? Or right, linear art scroll translate, right? So you could very easily know what pasuk or something in the siddur means. So it's very interesting. Not so many people say Anaros Bavel. So it's very interesting. I have a sefer that Bela bought for me many years ago, Halichos Shlomo, which are the Piskei Halacha Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zecher Tzadik Racha. And it says that he didn't say Al Naros Bavel. The only time he said Al Naros Bavel is at the Suas HaMavsekes Erev Tisha B'Av, which we're not going to have this year because it's Erev Tisha B'Av is Shabbos. Right? Again, we're going to have to talk about this, but again, it's not a Nidcha. Tisha B'Av is actually Shabbos this year. Shabbos with Thomas also. So, Meretz Hashem. Oh, it should be Latot with Meretz Hashem. But again, you have to, what?
Sunday.
What did I say? No, in other words, Erev, in other words, it's not a Nidcha. Right. Now again, so I think that's why. Now, why is that that minhag fell off the table? I don't know. Well, but that's the halacha, right? I mean, not depressing, but you know, I think that's the idea. That's why the Mishnah Berurah bring it down here. So you know, we need a reminder. You know, when it's summertime, and you know, like you live in Los Angeles, so you know, you need constant reminders that we live in Golos. Unfortunately, Hashem is giving us those reminders, but that's a separate issue. Okay, let's go on to Dalet. Tov, a very important halacha. Again, it's brought down here right in Siman Aleph, but it's a very important halacha to know in general. So Machaber says, Tov me'ab ta'chnunim be'kavana, it's better to say less beseechings, various tefillos with kavana meharbos below kavana, rather than saying a lot without below kavana, without kavana. So right, this comes up also by slichos, right? Slichos or the kinos, stuff like that, right? Things like that, where again you could say a lot. There's a lot to say, and I'm not saying it's not proper to say it, but again, people have limited attention span. So here we see very clearly in halacha that it's better to say less with kavana than to say more without kavana. Now, the Mishnah Berurah goes to a lengthy discussion from Mishnah Berurah about this. And he says also Talmud Torah is the same thing. Ki at kol tolui lifnei Hashem, Yisbarach, im ose kol asher bekoko lasos. A very important Mishnah Berurah. Again, it's in the middle of Mishnah Berurah Yud Beis. That the same thing is true by Torah, the same thing is true with Tefillah, that the whole thing in front of Hashem, the whole issue in front of Hashem is, did you do your best? Now again, this is very tricky, all right? I remember one time, I think my wife asked the Rosh Yeshiva, you know, it's a very delicate balance, or a very difficult balance, how do I know if I'm pushing myself enough, or I'm overdoing it, right? Like maybe I can't handle this, right? Now, again, there's certain things that are obligatory. Well, you know, can't handle 25 hours of fast on Yom Kippur. Well, you know, like, you got to do it. So, you know, like, which is partially sometimes the answer. If you really realize that you have to do it, then a lot of times you could do it, right? You know, there's a lot of examples of that. Like, but just look at somebody who's a smoker, and they know they can't smoke on Shabbos. No problem. Right? It's an amazing thing. No problem. As soon as the Havdalah candle goes out, they got to get smoke, right? You know, like, but if you have to, got to, but... again, you could talk to some people in the shul that, you know, they never dreamt that they'd wake up so early in the morning to be at Minyan at 6:30, 6:45 in the morning. Or maybe they, you know, once in a while you could do it, but to do it every single day, it's hard. Until you realize you have to. when you have to, so then, you know, you do it. But of course there's a question, and maybe you're pushing yourself too hard. So the Rishi was able to talk about, told my wife that you have to daven for Siyata Dishmaya. That you have the right balance between, you know, pushing yourself. Now again, we're supposed to push ourselves. That's the only way we get somewhere. But again, you have to be careful. And then the Mishnah Berurah says something which you knew I was going to say, right by the Lil Chavav. Again, towards the end of Osir Beis. It says, that a person has to set a time to learn Musar every single day. Right? We know this is true. And see, the important word is not only to learn it, but likvoa lo ace. Right? You have to set a time. B'liyan hara, I have that. And other people in shul have it. And you know, if you don't have it, you're not going to learn Musar. You have to set a time. And as I tell people, this was a time when you think, at least most likely, you're going to be able to do it. There won't be any other distractions, like very early in the morning or very late at night. I still remember the Rishi was telling us once, nobody asks for an appointment at 1 o'clock in the morning, right? Right? So he was up. I remember sometimes I came back very late and I heard the Rishi upstairs. 2 o'clock in the morning or whatever, you know, and it was up for Minyan. So, again, but you have to make a kvius. You have to make it, because same thing with learning. You have to make kvisa itim l'Torah. You have to set a set time for learning Torah. And again, the Chofetz Chaim says it, for learning Musar, im me'at im harbe, whether a little or a lot. Now, again, our Mesora, the Rishiva told us, is at least 10 minutes a day. 10 minutes mean uninterrupted, right? Straight. You can't do 1 minute, one time, you know, break it. You know, at least 10 minutes, preferably more. He one time told us, usually not more than a half an hour. But at least 10 minutes. The bigger you are, the firmer you are, the more Yetzer Hara there is. And that explains historical precedents that we have in history. We see sometimes very great people, even at the end of their lives, right? We're going to come up to it soon. Zimri wasn't chopped liver, right? Zimri, Yochanan Cohen, Gadol, Ach, and Elisha ben Avuha, very great people blew it. And Rashiva explained to us, because the Yetzer Hara has more invested. If you could take down somebody like that, that is a big score. So a person like that, so I remember we asked Rashi, I mean, great people have a bigger Yetzer Hara than me to steal? And he said, yes. It was a very shocking conversation. He said, yes. That's what you see happens. Unfortunately, sometimes you see that even in our generation. I heard a story recently about that. You know, again, not to condone it, but you know, like, Yetzer Hara has more to invest in. So, right? The antidote, right? All news now, right? Vaccines, antidotes, all the... So what's the ultimate antidote? It's not experimental, right? No question. The way to defeat the Yetzirah, the only way, I should say, the only way to defeat the Yetzirah is by Torah. And again, I'm a sort of from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, is that learning Musar, again, you have to know how to learn Musar. There is a method, which most people don't know. People in shul know, but there is a method how to learn Musar. A lot of times people learn Musar, but they don't get turned on to Musar. That's because they don't have the system. There's a system, which we're not going to get into now. But there's a system and a way to learn Musar. And as Rabbi Yisrael used to say, learning Musar is a frontal attack on the Yetzer Hara. So Rabbi Yisrael says that the Yetzer Hara will let you learn anything, let you learn Torah, but he won't let you learn Musar. I think that's why we see such a problem in certain very big yeshivas where it's hard. They might have a Musar Seder. It's very, very hard to get people to learn Musar. So part of it, I think, is because they don't have a Musar, how to learn Musar. You know, just tell them to open up a Musar Seder and learn it. That's not going to do it. Second of all, it's very hard. And like the Mishnah Berurah just said, the greater the person, the harder it is. So, that's for Musar Seder. Okay, let's go back to Hay, back upstairs. Okay, we have one more minute, but let's at least start at Hay. Tov lomar parshas ha'akeda, parshas ha'man, ve'aseres ha'dibros. It's best, it's tov, right? To say the parsha about the akeda, right? Akedas Yitzchak. And the parsha of the man, right? And aseres ha'dibros, parshas Parshas Ola u'Mincha u'Shlomen v'Chatas ve'Asham, and to say what we call Korbanos, right? Ola, Mincha, Shlomim, Chatas, and Asham. Now, before we go further, because actually we're out of time now, so Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick this up and go more into this. And again, you might have a kasha where I daven and I don't see a Aseres HaDibros in there anywhere. Right? Right? The other things you see the Akedah, you see the man also you don't see. Not, I don't think. No. In the back, after davening.
Right.
Not, I'm saying in what we call Korbanos.
Oh, right.
After Brachos, before Mizmashir. Yeah. Right? So again, so that's your Kasha. Kasha is the man, I don't think. The man is not there, and Sesa Dibros is not there. So what gives? So again, we're going to have to see the Ramah, and we're going to have to discuss this further about Sesa Dibros. Okay, so Meretz Hashem, we'll pick this up tomorrow, Bli Neder.